what was it really like to grow up with the British invasion, the second British invasion, through the progressive movement, and into the icons like Elton John and Bruce Springsteen, as music progressed from its infancy to where we are today? What was it like to experience a rock concert in the 70s that defined an entire generation? What was it like to build our first stereo system, to listen to this great new music, components that were designed to last a lifetime? I know, I still have mine. I still use it. We learned how to transfer our music from home to our cars. The advent of cassette tape and 8-track. I was there. I experienced it all. Through the decades, the music, yes, has changed. The technology, yes, has changed dramatically. How do we, as boomers, deal with the rapid change of technology when back in the day, things moved at a snail's pace and it was easier to adapt? I was there. I am there. I experienced it all. What was it like to experience Woodstock, Cal Jam, Us Festival, Live Aid? I was there. I've seen it all. Join me, Brad Blue, as I give my perspective.
As well as me, Alec, his son and the voice in the newer generations.
On all these wonderful events that we grew up with as boomers on Full Circle Analog. Good morning, it's Brad from Old Days, New Ways and Full Circle Analog. And all of you Beatle fans out there, hold on, because we have news again regarding the Peter Jackson edit and release date of the movie, now being titled Get Back, which of course chronicles the 1969 into 1970, the end of the Beatles' career in the studios when they recorded Let It Be and Abbey Road and other things. Out of that came the famous rooftop concert, which we Beatle fans cherish to this day. Well, we're going to, first of all, talk about the latest announcement. About a week ago, out of the blue, another announcement came out. And I'm recording this just before the 4th of July, 2021. An announcement came out that there had been another change in the release date. But not only that, now the Beatle Get Back movie is a 3-part movie documentary going to be released over 3 successive nights in November, starting on Thanksgiving night. Now we'll go into detail in a little bit, but all of us that were starting to get a little antsy and a little excited about the August 27th release date were let down, knowing that we'd have to wait another 3 months till November at least, and we would have to have a subscription to Disney Plus, because that's where it's going to be. Not in the theaters, but on Disney Plus. Ever feel like something's slipping away? Something that was going to be so good, suddenly, it could be an outing or something with friends, and all of a sudden somebody invites somebody that you don't want coming along, and suddenly, you know, the dynamic has changed and it's just not going to be the same. Well, friends, we are going to revisit a subject we've revisited and originally talked about under the understanding of knowing a little bit how I feel about this. We have received a couple weeks ago a press release from Disney regarding the Beatles, Peter Jackson's remix of the Beatles session work. The movie Let It Be, the rooftop concert, all that. And there's been a progression here that started a couple years ago. And then the last we heard, Disney was involved in distributing the film that was going to be released very soon. And then 2 weeks ago, all that came, or it's been longer than that now, I think it's been about 3 weeks, that has come to a screeching halt as a major announcement that the Beatles film Get Back will now no longer be in the theaters August 27th as it was planned, but will premiere on the Disney Plus channel Thanksgiving weekend. That's a shocker. I smell a rat. I don't like it. And I'll tell you why. But before I tell you why, let's backtrack a little bit and look at a timeline here. We first heard about this around, I think, January 30th of 2019, that the Beatles had talked with Peter Jackson. They had liked the work that Peter Jackson had done with his digital restoration work. They invited him into the studio primarily to work on a traveling exhibit, a multimedia exhibit, that would involve Beatle photographs and Beatle music, maybe some, you know, video thrown in. Peter Jackson, being curious, asked them, whatever happened to talk about the Let It Be movie being re-released or cleaned up or anything like that? And they said, oh, that's a separate project. And the director just quit. Peter Jackson thought. Director just quit. I'm a director. I would love to work on that too, or whatever. So they said, okay, tell you what, we'll send these home with you and take a look at them and tell us what you think. Can you imagine? And hired him to edit down 55 hours of footage that, some of which was in the movie Let It Be, most of which was not. This was, the project was going to be released in theaters in January of 2019, when the project was announced that the Beatles movie that came out in 1970, called Let It Be, that featured the famous rooftop concert and them recording in the studio pretty much songs that were on Let It Be. Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings fame. So the timeline here is January 30th of 2019. And it was supposed to be released in the theaters in March of 2020. So this is January 30th, 2019. So we go through all of 2019, then we creep into the infamous COVID 2020, and in that year, they determined that because of COVID, that the movie would not be released in 2020 and was going to be released, push back all the way to us what they thought at that time was a safe date, firm date, August 27th, 2021. Then the next milestone, because this is, we're still in 2020 now, early 2020. In January of this year, as we're trying to get through the COVID and we're coming into the new year, Peter Jackson appears on social media and YouTube and excites all the fans by actually showing us some of the footage that is in this movie. Shows about a, I think it's about a 4-minute clip. It's all done to the background of the song Get Back, and it looks just wonderful. Them joking around, footage none of us has ever seen before. Peter Jackson and his associate tell us that they're still editing, but they're targeting a summer release. So now everybody's all excited, right? And now, you know, we get into mid-June, And it was actually June 17th, 2021, another bombshell announcement comes out that the release date is going to be pushed back again. But now the kicker, on the surface, it sounds absolutely amazing. There was never, up to this point, it was never said how long the movie that was going to be in the theaters August 27th of this year was going to be. This announcement, June 17th, just a month ago, I've stretched out this recording. In the beginning, I said I started this a 4th of July weekend. Well, I've had so many false starts with this recording because I have so many mixed feelings about it. In a nutshell, it's this. The latest is, and one thing that we learned on the August 27th release date was that it was going to be distributed by Disney. Well, now it's still in Disney's house, but it's going to be on the new Disney streaming channel, Disney Plus, on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, which will be Black Friday, and Saturday after that. So now we have the joy of knowing it's a full 6 hours of this 50-hour recordings of the Beatles in the studio. So that's better than the movie release in a sense, because if it was in the movie theaters, it would not be 6 hours long. So we know it's going to be quite amazing, 6 hours of it over 3 nights. But now the caveat is you have to subscribe to the Disney Channel to watch it. I can only begin to imagine what the movie theaters who have almost died off. I mean, how many chains of movie theaters are really open? And we're looking to this summer release to really, can you imagine the money lost to the theaters by Disney pulling it from the theaters and putting it on their own channel? That pisses me off. It pisses me off because Disney already has bought out every major cartoon from, you know, the original Disney characters to the Muppets to Winnie the Pooh. I mean, they bought out everything. Pixar. And now they have control of this Beatles thing. That's too much. That's what really pisses me off. Because this, really, I don't really see why Disney has anything to do with this at all. I think Apple, the Beatles, whatever, the McCartney and Ringo, and I know it's not all in their hands. I don't know the legalities of it. But this has gone on too long. Yeah, we had COVID, but it's gone on too long. And now it's strictly controlled by Disney. Although, I think it'll just be this release. After this, I would hope that the Beatles would take control. If they want to use Peter Jackson, fine. There's still 40-some hours of video that can be polished up. This is a project that could be worked on for the next 10 years. I mean, if you listen to how Woodstock was re-edited over time, you know, it spanned 50 years in itself. As, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50-year anniversaries come up and technology gets better, well, I can only imagine the future moneymaker, especially as long as Paul McCartney and George Harrison, I mean, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr are still alive. I can only imagine where this is headed. But for now, to watch this Beatles show that's now going to be released during Thanksgiving week only on the Disney Channel. And that's what I'm not happy about. I'm not happy that Disney has their tentacles all around this, because Disney has their tentacles on just about everything else in the entertainment world. Not that they won't do a good job and do it professionally, but they're too big a company to be messing with this. And, just like right now, there's a McCartney special with Rick Rubens, the engineer, called McCartney 321. It's on Hulu, but you have to have a subscription to Hulu to watch it. All Beatle fans shouldn't have to have subscriptions to 10 different subscription services. That's where all this mess is heading. There's too many subscription services. And the highest bidder gets the contract for stuff like just the Beatles stuff alone. And eventually, it could backfire. The Beatles could actually get Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr could start getting some criticism about this, that, you know, this should almost be available to everybody. You know, but to put a price tag on it, it's a little different with these compilations that come out. You know, these compilations are fine. I bought the White Album, two versions of the White Album. I've got digitally remastered Sgt. Pepper on vinyl. The White Album I have on CD. I have the mini, the largest pack you can get short of the full set of Woodstock, which you can't get your hands on because it's on moratorium anyway. The 36 or 39 disc set of every performance that was at Woodstock. I've got the 10 or 12 disc set, and it's amazing. But anyway, I'm rambling on a bit here. The latest is the Beatles movie originally called Let It Be, which is now retitled Get Back, digitally remastered picture and sound by Peter Jackson, originally slated for 2020, re-release date summer of 2021, is now going to be released just before the holidays on the Disney Plus channel only. So you can see I'm conflicted about this. The commercialism of it, the exclusivity of it, but the bottom line is what this is about. It has come out through various books over the years, and the Beatles themselves in their anthology that came out. More and more information, and, you know, the Beatles were the first for the boomer generation to really latch on to and have a front row seat for 10 years, almost 10 years. The whole Beatle thing was, I think, more like 8 years, because the Beatles were on the radio before they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. But they are still kind of, it's a mystery and kind of fascinating how they created the songs that they created. And I recently took a course from my alma mater, college level, but it was a fun course on the Beatles in the studio. Now, this was last summer, so this was during COVID, and so it was a heightened emotional class because we didn't have the release of the video, but it was a six-week course trying to cover most of their records. The White Album kind of got left on the back end and was not discussed that much. And I was a little disappointed about that because the White Album is one of my favorite albums. And there's courses out there, there's books out there, there's about, I think, in the ballpark of 4 to 6 definitive books out there that chronicle the Beatles in the studio. I'm fascinated by that, how they created the sounds that they created, especially with the technology. And being a lover of analog technology, as my listeners know, I convert analog music, audio, video, photographs to the digital age. And I'm fascinated with how they created what they created. I mean, just the fact that the songs that they came up with. And that's one of the reasons the original movie we're talking about here, Let It Be, that came out in 1970, was such a downer, because it showed them so at kind of estranged a little bit, somewhat distant. There's the famous scene where George and Paul get kind of into an argument. Paul comes across in the original movie as really condescending and the leader of the band. And, you know, with Yoko sitting there, and it made it look quite obvious that Yoko, being her presence there, was a problem. Well, it turns out none of that's really true. as we're going to find out, supposedly, looking at this upcoming video. But what's the flip side of all the complaining I've been doing is to actually see the video, as Peter Jackson calls it, the fly on the wall approach of watching them actually create a song out of the ether, out of thin air. Now, if you out there have listened to the anthology music, and this is what's going to happen with the upcoming Get Back, trust me. The video now is 6 hours, 3 2-hour segments, Thanksgiving Day, and Black Friday and Saturday of November 2021. But there will be compilations released on various formats, various sets. We have the George Harrison 50-year release of All Things Must Pass, which is coming out in so many different, I don't know, how over a dozen at least, different formats. It's crazy. You know, from CD or vinyl with a you know, signed autograph, whatever inside, you know, whatever it takes. I've got a couple different versions of the White Album, one with that has the booklet in it, because I am just fascinated with the day-in, day-out recording sessions that they had. This class really opened my eyes to that process, but not so much the process, but the equipment that was used and why it was there, or was it brought in intentionally, or did it happen to be there from another session? I think a lot of times there was equipment that was just left around, and especially Paul, I think, who was fascinated with instruments and music and could play just about anything. I think Paul can play a little bit of trumpet, you know, definitely can play guitar, bass guitar, piano, and, you know, whatever, drums. I mean, look at McCartney in his, what, three manifestations of producing an album, and the third one recently, where he plays all the instruments. Obviously, he's off the charts talent-wise. He's, you know, we're looking at, you know, the Paul McCartneys of the world and the Joni Mitchells of the world. On Facebook right now, if you're changing the subject completely, if you're a Joni Mitchell fan, Joni Mitchell, after having a stroke a few years ago, an aneurysm or a stroke, is regaining her health. It's a miracle. And she's going out on social media and releasing on her, you know, Joni Mitchell page all kinds of videos, a lot of which I've seen, but some I've never seen before. And also, she has a, you know, we're gonna start seeing this, boomers, for the next 10 years. These compilations, closet classics, lost recordings that were suddenly found. But my point here is the joy and the anticipation of seeing the Beatles create in the studio is really, really worth waiting for. Because these two artists, McCartney and Joni Mitchell, but, you know, with the Beatles, we're going to throw all four of them in. But McCartney and Joni Mitchell, they had the trifecta. They had great voices, singing voices. They were great songwriters, and they were exceptional musicians. To have all three in one person sets them apart. And you take that Beatles situation, McCartney and Lennon and Harrison and Ringo and George Martin, and the engineers in those early days saying, okay, let's try it. How do we do that? There's so many studio innovations that, like the Beatles, one of them was the Leslie speaker, which is usually hooked up to a Hammond organ. You can always tell the Leslie speaker because when the vibrato comes on, there's a whirly bird that spins around on the top of the speaker. The Beatles played their instruments through that Leslie speaker. Not only that, but they even sang from, had their microphones connected and sang through the Leslie speakers as well. Just, they did all kinds of stuff like that to try different ways to create different sounds. It's totally experimental. It wasn't like, okay, if we do this and this will happen. A lot of times they wanted a certain sound. That John, for example, would explain it to George Martin what he wanted. George Martin would turn to the engineers in the studio, in the booth, and, well, I think the best way to do this would be to plug this into this or wire this into this. And, you know, we've never done this before. Let's try it and see what happens. So the experimentation in their studio recordings was many, many times invented for that song or for that occasion. Excited about it. I'll figure out a way to watch it, that's for sure. But that's what we have to wait for. We have to wait all of July, all of August, all of September, all of October. Let's just hope there's not any other snag or change in the system. But the point I was trying to make was, when the Beatles anthology came out, originally it was a 6-hour video, at least 6 hours, probably longer. It was on 4 or 5 nights during the week on ABC, and they were each 2 hours long, so it was longer than 6 hours. And months later, it came out with like the soundtrack to it, and the soundtrack was on cassette. And then eventually, I think the soundtrack came out on CD. It was on vinyl or cassette, I think, at that point, because this was still in the 90s. And I had the cassette, 2 of the 3 cassette sets, we'll call them. This wasn't a box set, but it was, at least 2 or 3 cassette tapes in each set. And it was covered the early Beatles, the middle Beatles, and then the Beatles from 67 to 70. And through each one, you could tell, the songs that were on there were either outtakes or unfinished versions of songs that eventually showed up on albums. But you could see the progression from the original idea of the song, maybe played on just a guitar or a piano, with none of the orchestration or the overdubs or anything like that, just the raw version of the song. And even some of the lyrics were different. You could tell where they changed the lyrics. Obviously, somebody felt that lyric didn't work, and this would work better. And so you could see the progression from the creation of the song to the final version that we know on the records. And those are the ones we first heard. We never heard these other ones. There were some bootleg records that came out, but a lot of that was Beatles in concert, and they were recorded like on a simple tape deck that somebody was holding out in the crowd. And so you got all the crowd noise as well as them on stage, and the sound quality, rather, was terrible. But the kind of thing we saw with the Beatles anthology, and now, of course, these box sets, as I've also been talking about, are so prolific. You can just bet that if this is our final countdown to Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, and Saturday after Thanksgiving, 3 nights, 2 hours each night of the Beatles Get Back, the Peter Jackson, edited, digitally remastered. One thing that's interesting Peter Jackson's been working on this for 3 years. I'm sure he's paid well. And one of the reasons it's taking so long is a lot of the video and the audio were actually in separate reels. It's hard. It's like they filmed like 35 millimeter film and they didn't have any, you know, they had a different recording setup recording the audio. So the video was on this film and the audio was on this film. And they had to match them up, which is amazing because that's got to be hard to do. I mean, it's not hard to do with the kind of equipment they have. Of course, you have to have a gift and a passion for editing and the talent, but a lot of it is just time. You have to make the cut, listen, make sure it's exactly right, looking at it, listening to it until it's absolutely right. And because they actually had, they had the 60 hours of video and they had like 140 hours of audio. And they had to match up the audio to the video, which it sounds, like I said, sounds screwy, but that's what was in the boxes that they discovered of the unused portion of the original movie, Let It Be. So this has been a labor of love on at least three levels from Peter Jackson. You know, it's video enhancement because the film is old, and because of Peter Jackson's work on a previous film where he cleaned up and remastered old World War I footage and made it look like it was just filmed yesterday. And, you know, his ability to make audio sound the best that it can. All of this is going to be, they say that, you know, the colors, remember the Beatles in the 70s, if you look at the clothes they wore from Sgt. Pepper on, you know, and even before that, in the middle years of the Beatles, they wore some outrageous, outlandish clothes. It almost seems kind of goofy looking, but, you know, anything the Beatles did was cool, right? And, you know, so Paul might be wearing this lavender pink suit and when they're out on a photo shoot and wearing all these different stripes and bold flowers and kind of hippie-like clothes and stuff like that. So those that have been lucky to witness like Variety magazine and others, their writers or their producers or their whatever, have been allowed to watch the first hour block of the what we're going to see this November. And they're saying the colors of the Beatles' clothes when they came in to the studio, I mean, are so vivid you can almost touch them. So that's what, even just the color of what they wore and the sound, everything is going to feel like you're in the room with them, like they've said over and over again, a fly on the wall approach where you're going to be sitting there observing them, and the picture quality, the sound quality, and the editing is so good, it'll feel like you're in the room. So in a quick review, the Get Back sessions, edited by Peter Jackson, for the Beatles, surviving Beatles and the families, that was originally slated for 2020 summer release, rescheduled to August 27th of this year, has now been finalized as a six-hour documentary in three parts, 6 hours long, three two-hour sessions. They're all around 2 hours, they say. Thanksgiving night, Black Friday, and Saturday after Thanksgiving, 2021. On the Disney Plus network. So, the first part, we talked about my unhappiness with Disney being involved with this. From distribution to actually hosting it on one of their streaming sites. And how devastated the theaters that are just opening must be, knowing that the revenue they thought they could count on for this release in August is now not going to be in the theaters, at least not this year. My point in the Beatles anthology after that was the Beatles anthology came on TV as a major week-long event on ABC. Months and even longer than that afterwards, a soundtrack came out loosely based. It wasn't actually excerpts from the week-long anthology series, but it was broken down into three different sections: the early Beatles, the middle Beatles, and the Beatles from 67 to 70. And the versions of the songs that were on this were unfinished or early representations, or in some cases songs that were never on Beatle records. For example, there were a few things that jumped out at me on these anthology soundtracks, because I own the early Beatles, I think, and then the late Beatles. I can't remember. I have two of the three on cassette. And we discovered that the Beatles worked on George Harrison's All Things Must Pass in the studio. Some of the songs on McCartney's that showed up on McCartney's first album, like Teddy Boy, that song, it doesn't get really any airplay, but it was one of the recognizable tracks off McCartney's very first solo album. They worked on that in the studio as the Beatles. I believe that Working Class Hero, something like one of Lennon's, some songs off what showed up on Plastic Ono Band, they worked on. They never made it to a Beatles record, and when they broke up in 70, they had those rough mixes already in the studio, and by then George had a sound system, a whole studio in his home in Friar Park. And so he took the masters there and invited new musicians in. And we're going to hear a lot of that on the release coming out August 7th about George Harrison's box set of All Things Must Pass. Also, these things also popped up on the White Album extended box set of outtakes and stuff, things that they worked on. More and more, I mean, there's so much stuff. I can't even imagine how much stuff is yet to be discovered, or have they found it all? I don't know. Because the last thing I want to say in closing, after talking about the release date, what I was unhappy about, what I'm really excited about, is to see how the Beatles develop songs in the studio from scratch, from the ether to the finished product. And we're going to get to see that in this new enhanced video, audio, and editing from Peter Jackson. So that's it about that. And I'm just really going to be excited to see that, because the evolution of the Beatles music to the final product often went through several manifestations. And they were just the greatest band ever, and who knows? What I can guarantee you is after this November release, that if not by Christmas, into the next year, there's going to be extended sets, box sets of this and that, maybe even a year or so down the road, based on the Peter Jackson movie. Take care, everybody.
All right, that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening to Full Circle Analog, where we connect with the Inland Empire's musical roots. If you really enjoyed this podcast and like to find out when our next episodes go live, we upload every Wednesday. And to get direct links to those episodes, go ahead and follow us at Full Circle Analog on Facebook. You can find us at fb.me/FCAnalog to get there quickly. Or you can find us at odnws.com/podcast. It's our official website, and that page has a link to our podcast on basically any platform you can find it on, as well as players for our most popular platforms. Thanks for listening, and check us out next week on Full Circle Analog.